I want to talk about communion because sometimes I think we go through the exercise of communion without pausing to slow down and remember why we do communion. Sometimes we do communion because most of our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada churches, for some reason, have picked the first Sunday of the month to do communion. And sometimes we think, well, you know, that's in the Bible somewhere. It's not. The Bible says, as often as you have communion, remember. Doesn't say you have to have it every week. It doesn't say you can't have it every week. Doesn't say it has to be the first Sunday of the month. Today is the third Sunday of the month. And just to throw you off, in February, we're going to do it on the second Sunday of the month. Because. So I want to take time to just zero in on two aspects of communion. If you were to break down and study communion, there's many different great aspects and teachings and things that happen in our lives because and as a result and leading into communion. So today I just want to touch on a couple of them. Of course, the overarching principle of communion is to remember what Jesus did for us. That's where it starts. The communion service, the communion remembrance, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, they're all different names for the same thing, is all about what Jesus did for us. And when we take communion, we're supposed to stop and reflect. Reflect on what Jesus did. And reflect on what God's love is expressed to us through Jesus. Reflect on our relationship with God. Reflect on our relationship with other believers. Reflect on our relationship with people who belong to the family of faith that we call Highway. Reflect, pause, stop, remember. So I want to just give you a little bit of a background and a really, really quick. I don't have time to go deep on this. But our communion service has its roots in the Jewish Passover meal. The Jewish Passover meal was, if you find it in the Bible for the first time, in the book of Exodus, where Israel had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years, and God raises up Moses and sends him in, and there's 10 plagues, and the last plague is the angel of death. And God said to the Hebrews, to the Israelites in Egypt, here is what you must do to be safe tonight. Today you must kill a lamb, and you must take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle it on the doorposts of your home. You're to roast the lamb and eat it all, have no leftovers, and you're to eat it with certain herbs and certain things, and that's the Passover meal. And Israel didn't totally understand it, but Moses said, do this. God said, do this. Because in the middle of the night, the angel of death is going to pass over the land of Egypt, and all firstborn males of every household will perish. They will die as a result of this plague, this judgment of God, as God wants to release his people from slavery to the promised land. And the angel of death would go through the land, but the doorposts of the homes that had doorposts with blood sprinkled on them, with the blood of the lamb, the angel of death would pass over that home. And the next morning there was huge wailing in Egypt, and people woke up and the firstborn males of homes were dead. And the Pharaoh said to Moses, take your people and get out of here. And so they were released from 400 years of slavery. See, that very night for Egypt and for Israel in Egypt, that very night they had what they didn't know would be the first of many Passover meals. And that brought them the salvation from slavery. And so the Passover meal would eventually, God would say to Israel, every year you're to have a Passover meal. You're to remember what I have done for you in Egypt and how I brought you out of slavery. But little did Israel even understand, in that Passover meal, not only was God saying you're going to look back at what I've done, but there's a picture in that Passover meal that says there is a Jesus, a Savior, the Messiah, who is coming. And he is going to free people from the slavery of sin. It's through the blood of the Lamb. It's not only a picture backwards, but for Israel, it was a picture forward. And our communion service that we're so used to, that Jesus instituted, he instituted it at a Passover meal. Our communion ceremony is instituted by Jesus. He started it at a Passover meal that he was holding with his disciples on the night that he was about to be arrested. Beforehand, he gathered them, and many of you know a story of an upper room. And there they are having this Passover meal. And in the middle of that meal, Jesus took the emblems that were common to the Passover meal, two of them in specific, unleavened bread, which is very much like a cracker, for lack of better. It's bread without leaven, so it's a cracker type bread, and because that's what Israel left Egypt with. They didn't have time to bake their bread and let it rise. And wine. And Jesus took these elements of the Passover meal, and he told us the significance of the bread and the wine. He told us how the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. And let's be honest, I think that as the disciples sat there in the Passover meal, they were good Jewish boys. They knew what the Passover meal, they knew all the elements and there's story to it and there's everything. And when Jesus stands up and breaks the bread, literally cracks it in half, they started thinking to themselves, this is like no Passover meal I ever had as a little boy. And they hear Jesus say, this is my body broken for you. And then a little bit while later, Jesus takes a cup of wine and says, this is my blood shed for you. In fact, we can read it in Matthew 26, verse 26. We read Jesus' own words as he says all that. It says, while they were eating, they're eating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Two things I want to point out of this passage. Real simple, real important. Real key to communion. Real key to what we do. Communion teaches us about the forgiveness of sins. Like I said, I don't believe the disciples fully grasped at that very moment. Here is their leader standing in front of them. They don't understand he's about to be arrested. They don't know he's about to be unjustly tried. They don't know he's going to be wrongly crucified. They don't know that he's going to die and rise again on the third day. They don't know. They're just sitting at a Passover meal and Jesus breaks bread and gives them wine. See, we sit in a better seat. We look back with 2,000 years of history and understanding, and we understand when Jesus took the bread and broke it. We understand what that picture is because we can look back at it. But the disciples were living in the moment. I don't think they totally understood it. See, Jesus knew what was awaiting him. He knew who was going to betray him. He knew when it was going to go down, how it was going to go down. He knew what was ahead for him. He knew because it's the whole purpose of his coming was to tell us about the love of the Father and to show us that love on a cross. Jesus knew. This is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. It's coming to an ultimate conclusion. It's coming to the climax of why he came, the cross. But if you go back to the opening days of Jesus' ministry, when God told him it's time to start your public ministry at about the age of 30, the Gospels tell us that he went to seek John the Baptist, who was baptizing people at the Jordan. And as Jesus is walking, because he wants to be baptized by John the Baptist, John chapter 1 verse 29 says this, the next day John, that's John the Baptist, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Nobody in the crowd understood it. But I believe John the Baptist at that very moment understood everything that God had been doing in his life. Look, the Lamb of God. He speaks a prophetic word at the outset of Jesus' ministry. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hebrews 9:22, the writer expands on that. He tells us, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The Lamb of God, the Lamb on the doorposts in Egypt, the Passover meal that speaks to a coming Messiah, the prophets who speak about a suffering servant, Jesus himself who declared that on the third day I will rise again. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Communion teaches us about the forgiveness of sin. And tied to the forgiveness of sin, and this is sometimes what we miss, is the idea and the teaching of repentance. It's not, I mean, yes, it is. In the name of Jesus, it's powerful enough when we say, Jesus, forgive me. But Jesus and God want more than that from us. There needs to be a repentance that takes place in our hearts. Because repentance and forgiveness are tied together. We need to have repentance in our lives so that we can walk out in the forgiveness that God has for us. And I've tried to write a simple understanding or explanation of repentance, and I came up with this. Repentance is a regret for past sins and wrongs done against God and his word. And a commitment on our part. A commitment to change one's behavior and thoughts in order to surrender your life to God. Repentance is a complete change of direction in your life. People would say repentance is a 180 degree turn. From going this way, I'm going that way. From ignoring God, I'm running towards God. From disobeying God's word, I'm going to obey God's word. Repentance and forgiveness have to go together. It's not good enough for us to say, God, forgive me, and then we go out and sin again on purpose. Yeah, we mess up. Yes, we sin. Yes, sometimes we fall short. Yes, sometimes we do it by accident. Or sometimes we do it because our will is just not strong enough. Repentance says, I'm going to change the direction of my life, and I'm going to live and walk in the forgiveness that Jesus made available for me. Repentance means I accept you, Jesus, for who you are and for what you said and for everything that the Bible says about you. I believe you, and I want to obey your word. So communion teaches us about the forgiveness of sins. One other thing I want to zero in on today. And we don't often talk about this. And I mean, I can take a week or two and almost break down all of these different aspects. Communion teaches us that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Look at what Jesus said to his disciples when he instituted that Passover meal. Verse 29 of our opening text today. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's another term for heaven, eternity. Jesus said there's coming a time not on this earth, but in eternity when I will celebrate with you again. Paul does the same thing. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians. He expands and he's teaching the early church about the communion service. And he says these words, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He's coming back. This world is not the end. This life is not the end. Our graves are not the end. Eternity is not even the end, because eternity doesn't end, but it's our final destination. See, whenever we celebrate communion, we're looking back to what Jesus did for us. Forgiveness. But when we celebrate communion, we're looking forward to what Jesus is going to do. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back to gather the believers, the Jesus followers, those who have repented and asked for forgiveness. He's not just coming for the good people and the nice-hearted people. He's coming for those who've repented of their sin, turned their lives around, and are following Jesus. Forgiveness. Paul goes further and he teaches the early church in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's the believers who are dead. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever, eternity, in the kingdom of heaven. There's coming a day. We don't know when. We always believe it's imminent. Because the Bible says no one knows the day or time. We believe there's coming a day where Jesus will return and in the sky, and he will bring up every believer, dead and alive. That's why the believers who've died, the loved ones that you may have buried, the loved ones that you have said goodbye to in this world, it's not the end. It's the hope we have that there comes a day when Jesus will call us and will return and go to heaven with him. The only way to eternity with God is through repentance and forgiveness. You want eternity with God? You need to follow Jesus in this life. You want eternity with Jesus? You need to repent and ask for forgiveness. See, Jesus gave us the communion service. He told us what it means. He said, this bread represents my body. Whenever you eat it, remember what I've done for you. This cup of wine is the blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. What are you in need of today? What are you believing God for today? What is it that you're asking God for? Maybe you're here and you've never accepted his forgiveness. You've never said, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. You've never made that turn in your life. What is it that you're believing God for today? Where do you need God's intersection in your life? Would you pray with me? Father, we just give you the glory and the honor this morning. Lord, as we're coming to this communion table, as we're coming and holding these elements in our hands, Lord, this morning I ask that we would remember. Just to remember that there's forgiveness. To hold on to the hope that this life is not the end, but you are our end. That you're coming back. Bless these emblems as they go, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.